Welcome back to The Holler. TNHoller.com is where you can find us at The TN Holler on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, TikTok, YouTube. We try to be everywhere. We're also hollering all across the state. Thanks to your support, we really do appreciate it. Your small dollar monthly donations are what make this all possible. You are The Holler, so keep the tips coming. Keep telling us what's going on out there. Thank you for your support. Elisa Parker, if you're buying or selling in Middle Tennessee, do it through her. If you need a lawyer, Abby Rubenfeld. And if you need any jewelry, AJ Martin, not your grandmother's jewelry stores in Nashville. All right, today we're going to talk about something that we've been talking about quite a bit lately. It's going to be the focus of the session coming up in January. It has been Governor Lee's number one priority since he took office. The private school voucher push. Republicans across the state didn't want it in their own counties. They only wanted it in Democratic counties and areas. And now these private school vouchers are going to be pushed into every part of the state, all 95 counties, accessible to everybody in Tennessee, not just low-income kids who are in struggling schools. That is the cover story. That is not the reality. Today we are joined by Josh Cowan, who is a Michigan State professor who studies education policy and has an op-ed today in the Tennessean because of what's going on here. Josh, how are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
This is what you had to say in the Tennessean today. As an education researcher, the data show school vouchers would harm Tennessee students. Now, I know that word is going to scare a lot of people. Oh my God, it's not just feelings, it's data. So why don't you tell us real quick, what makes you an education policy professor? Like, tell us a little bit about your background.
I try to look at what works, what doesn't work, and when things work and when they don't work for education. Who don't they work for and who do they work for? Teacher quality to, in this case, school choice programs. Professionally, I kind of grew up actually studying school choice programs and school voucher programs. Was part of some of the earliest evaluations 20 years ago now for pilot versions of these types of programs we're talking about today, places like Washington, D.C. Spent a lot of time looking at vouchers and school choice here in Michigan, Louisiana, New Orleans. A substantial program exists down there. But I've been in Michigan for a while, which is sort of one of the origin states for this type of voucher program that we're talking about today. We don't have a voucher program here, but Betsy DeVos and some of the other billionaire backers behind these programs nationally did get their start here.
Right. And we should talk about Betsy. She came to Tennessee in 2019 when Governor Lee first started trying to pass these vouchers, involved in the push to expand vouchers to get them into Tennessee. We show a clip all the time of Betsy DeVos on a Christian radio station talking about how her agenda is to advance God's kingdom in public education. And the vouchers, I think, are a big part of that.
Why waste your dollars on non-Christian things?
To impact our culture in ways that are not the traditional funding the Christian organization route, but that really may have greater kingdom gain in the long run by changing the way we approach things, in this case, the system of education in the country.
Can you tell us a little bit about the role Betsy DeVos has played in the expansion of vouchers throughout the country?
Well, it's an important quote of hers. There's really no data-driven or research-based case for school vouchers. In fact, quite the opposite. Vouchers have had some of the largest impacts negatively that we've ever seen in education research. I wrote about that for the Tennessean today. Mostly at this point go to children who are already in private school. New bailouts for existing private schools, struggling private schools usually that are barely hanging on financially. And so why are these things still persisting? Well, the answer that you have to turn to, and that I've increasingly turned to, is, well, this is an ideological push by folks who have the resources to push it. And it's really not about academic improvement or achievement for children. What it really is about setting up these church schools, bailing them out, creating new incentives for churches to create schools, which is an important part of this story too, creating this ideological push when really it has nothing to do with academic achievement for kids.
I think that's really important for people to hear. And, you know, we've seen examples across the country. In Iowa, the tuitions have just gone up.
Yep.
Mostly not the schools that you would think of. It's more like the smaller religiously linked schools that they just raise their tuition to take the money. It comes from kids who are already going to their school to begin with. In Arizona, we've seen now it's starting to sink their budget, foreshadowing of what's going to happen here. Empowerment scholarships, here they're called freedom scholarships because everything's about freedom in Tennessee, gone towards all kinds of frivolous things. And then even more importantly, Arizona, schools are closing.
Yes.
This was recent. This was like last week. They blame vouchers and charter schools for taking funds away from public schools and now causing their schools to close. So is this a fair representation of what's been happening across the country?
Yes. What's really important to understand here is when vouchers scale up. So when we take them from these smaller versions like you guys have right now in Nashville and Memphis and Chattanooga, and you broaden them out to a statewide basis, that's where you see all this catastrophic set of outcomes, not just for academics, for the few children who do transfer from public to private school who aren't already in there, but for state budgets and other outcomes like you're describing. When these voucher programs come to town, they fund two different types of schools for the most part. Financially distressed schools that are barely hanging on in the first place. Most of those are going to be linked to a church in some way, whether they're like a Catholic diocese or sort of a standalone school based in a non-denominational church. It's expensive to run schools, whether it's public or private. Financially distressed schools that are barely hanging on, that's one type of school that vouchers fund when they scale up. The other type of school is what I referred to a second ago. These are the pop-up schools, the schools that decide to flood the market when there's new tax incentives from state governments to set them up. Often those are also attached to churches as well. In both cases, though, it's not the cream of the crop. One of the ways that these things get marketed, well, these are solutions to so-called failing schools. But what's really going on is you're not talking about these sort of elite college prep academies, things like that. That's what they try to sort of sell this as. What's really going on, again, is these are struggling schools. It's difficult to run a school, often threadbare budgets to begin with, low teacher salaries. And we've seen research evidence, actually, that when these programs do expand, they become an important part of church budgets. Private giving, religious organizations and churches actually goes down. One way to think about this once vouchers are passed is actually some sort of mandatory tithing to churches that have decided to set up a school, and that money from the school brings in new dollars to the churches. So I'm a church going guy, I sing in a choir. This isn't about church or religion, but it is about public policy and it is about taxpayer dollars. When we're talking about how these things affect those budgets, that's how they do it.
So we've started to see some pushback, not just from Democrats, but also from Republicans across the state. What have been the biggest pushbacks you've seen from the Republican side of things, and have any of it work?
Well, I think the unifying thread on that question is most Republican who represent rural communities, how many private schools are in your rural community? Not very many. So when you think about these, and this is why it's important to begin the way we did, when you think about these largely as bailouts for subprime private schools, you look around your community and there aren't very many private schools, subprime or otherwise, to begin with. And that's, I think, the main reason rural representatives have posed these things. This is a national push. You guys are just the latest case, unfortunately, but in Texas, it was actually rural Republicans that killed these bills, and this was the main reason. I'm not a political strategist, but I do know that you don't tend to serve your constituents very well by voting against what's often the largest employers and the community centers in their district. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right. We've seen a lot of Republican areas, rural areas, pass resolutions unanimously against this. We've seen school boards stand up against this, partly because, like you said, they're the biggest employer, but also because there is this vilification of public schools in general. But when you drill down into it's your public school, it's your teacher, your area, people actually like their public schools.
That's right. Polling data bears that out. When you ask parents about public schools in general, parents will say they've got some concerns, but then they say, well, how satisfied are you with your public school, with your community? And many of them will say, it's working pretty well for me personally. That is an important part of pushback here. One thing I wanted to stress too, it's true that you have to be in a district that has private schools to even have a hope of benefiting from something like this financially, but you don't have to be in a district that has private schools to be harmed by these voucher bills. And the way this works is because the state starting to spend money on kids whose tuition has been paid by the private sector up until the bill passes, no state can afford to pay for two sectors of education, traditional public school and a publicly funded private system of vouchers. States can't afford to do it. Arizona's budget is broken. Right-wing advocacy organizations undersold the extent to which these voucher bills pay for kids who are already in private school. They argued this is just a cost transfer, but that's actually not what happens. Only about a quarter of children transfer from public to private schools. About three quarters of the users of these programs are actually already in private schools. So the state is basically coming in and saying, we're going to put that on our dime now. In fact, the state can't afford to do that. Funding slows down for traditional public schools. State aid is a very important source of revenue for local districts, especially rural communities. Those dollars start to dry up. You don't have to have an exact cut. If you just slow down the funding, in the long run, ends up being a cut. In six out of the last seven states to pass voucher programs, those states that have passed voucher programs have been unable to keep up with public school spending with the states near them that haven't passed the program. So it really makes Tennessee non-competitive from the standpoint of investing in public schools in their communities in the long run.
That's important to hear. And what we're hearing a lot from Governor Lee, Scott Sapicki, people like that that are involved in this conversation is, oh, it's just going to be new dollars. These are education freedom scholarships. This is going to be on top of what we're spending. Sapicki in particular particular maybe has convinced himself of that. Is that what these things are? Do they end up just being more money, or is it taking away from public schools?
In the long run, it takes away. It usually takes about 3 budget cycles for the check to come due on these things. It is true that in the short run, they will find legislative gimmicks like they do for lots of special interest funding to pay for these things out of pocket. And especially when it comes to trying to kind of drag rural legislators over the line. You see these bills written in a way that allows some of the sponsors to claim that this isn't going to defund public schools. They're relying on overly tedious interpretations of claim. I mean, any employee of any business knows that if you don't get a raise for 3 or 4 or 5 years, that has the same effect on your budget as a cut if spending is going up in other ways. If you're not getting a raise, that's going to have the same effect as a cut. And that's basically how these programs begin to defund public schools over the long run. They're saying, well, it's not coming out of public school funding. But down the line, again, it usually takes about 3 years. What happens is these programs do have to cannibalize from public schools because there's only so much of the pie to go around. And they're relying on people listening to this or taxpayers in general not pay a lot of attention to what line comes from which part in the state budget.
People having a short memory. By the time this actually kicks in and starts to hurt these rural schools, Governor Lee's not even going to be there anymore.
Sure.
So he's trying to get something done on behalf of these interests that are going to be paid for decades, and he's going to be gone. He'll have done his part. He'll go try to be, you know, Trump's vice president or whatever.
And that's
our kids that will suffer.
And that's what happened in Arizona. Governor Ducey rammed this thing through. In 2018, Arizona voters at a statewide ballot initiative rejected a universal voucher program. The Governor Ducey in Arizona rammed it through. And then he left office. He was term limited. A new governor, Governor Hobbs, came in, and now she's got to figure out what to do with this broken budget.
Right. And now it's the Democrats' fault because she's in office and it's going to look like she's the one hurting public education.
And to be fair, I think some of these legislators really do believe the information that's put in front of them. But what's important to understand is that the information that's being put in front of the legislators in Tennessee, for the most part, are getting that information from Betsy DeVos's organizations, from some Charles Koch organizations, and others that have had a longstanding, decades-long interest in trying to expand these things. And they're just not, frankly, they're not telling the truth. Again, in Arizona, they said, look, this is going to be a cost savings. This is going to benefit kids in failing public schools. Well, what actually happened is three quarters of users didn't move at all, got there, tuition paid for by taxpayers. And that created the budget crisis in Arizona. Three quarters has been true in every state that's passed a voucher program in the last several years. It will be true in Tennessee if that's what happens.
We appreciate you sounding the alarm about this. There is a lot of disinformation coming from the exact same people that he's talking about here in Tennessee. AFP, Americans for Prosperity, is leading the push. Koch-backed organization, operatives working for them that were the same ones that were here when Speaker Cassidy illegally got the vouchers put into Memphis and Nashville. I don't know if you heard about that. When this initially got passed, it was a tie vote, and Speaker Cassidy held the board open for 45 minutes until they could strong arm Jason Zachary into flipping his vote. And while they did that, there were bribes and threats. And one representative says they offered him promotion in the National Guard to general. Investigations into it. The Democrats just last week put out a call for the FBI to look into it again. So this has been very shady all along.
No state anywhere has ever passed vouchers on a direct ballot initiative. So when you put this to actual voters and not through surveys commissioned by polls commissioned by the DeVos organization or whatever, and when you don't resort to the legislative gimmicks like you're describing, these things fail, and they fail at a 100% rate. They have never actually passed when gone to statewide vote. These things are deeply unpopular, and it's usually not even close. These are not popular things, and this is why you have to see these kinds of legislative deal making and things like that to get these things through.
Just as a final thing here, if you were giving someone a quick elevator pitch for why vouchers are bad for Tennessee, here's why this is bad for Tennessee kids.
First and foremost, vouchers pay tuition for kids who are already paying tuition. In doing so, they bankrupt state budgets. For the 25% or so of children who do transfer from public to private school, we see some of the worst academic outcomes ever seen on any question in the education research community. And the reason for that is that those schools that do get these dollars tend to be subprime providers or financially distressed schools. They're not very good. That's why they're financially distressed, and they need the bailout or they will close. Many actually close already, further hurting children. It's very, very important to remember. When it comes to vouchers, it's not school choice at all. It's the school's choice. Schools still get to pick who they're going to admit. So even if you had a world, everybody's eligible for a voucher in the universal framework that Governor Lee's proposal makes it, that just means that theoretically you're eligible to get the handout and take the voucher and shop around for a school. But the schools are under no obligation to take you whatsoever. They can turn you away at the door. And we see that that's what happens because you're not of the same religious value. They can turn you away if you've got, say, an LGBTQ mom or dad or parent, your high schooler who gets pregnant. They can turn you away if you or your student has a special need or a disability the school just doesn't want to serve you for. We've seen this in state after state after state. When it comes to vouchers, it's the school's choice, not school choice. That's really, really important to remember as well.
And it's also important to remember that they don't get held to the same accountability standards as public schools. And Governor Lee was asked about this and he played dumb, but he knows they won't.
So let me just say that final details of this legislation aren't worked out. I don't know the detail answer for that.
Reason for pushing these vouchers is supposedly because achievement is low, but then you're going to solve that problem by steering kids to places where you don't even measure this stuff.
And where it's been measured. And the reason that I wrote this piece for the Tennessean is that data haven't really been collected for the Tennessee voucher program as it exists right now. And the reason for that is they know that over the last decade, the track record is dreadful. They see the same results I do. They know that the results are dreadful. And that's why the latest iteration of voucher programs, Tennessee and every other state since about 2019, no accountability provisions whatsoever. If they thought that accountability and transparency and how these kids were doing on outcomes was going to help their cause, they'd be the first to push these through in legislation so they could not only justify what they did in the state that they're pushing it today, but also in future states. They know it makes these programs look like a mistake, and that's why they keep these things hidden, the outcomes hidden from taxpayers. They don't want folks to know what's really going on.
Sounds like that's the reason that Governor Lee and the Republicans in Tennessee are pushing to expand this program before we even have the results of how the pilot program is working, because they're worried about what those results will say. It's not because they're in some sort of rush to help kids.
Once you put these things through, it's almost impossible to pull them back. Illinois has become the first state to slowly phase its tax credit program out, which mathematically is the same thing as a voucher, but it's not a direct appropriation. That's the other reason they're rushing, is that once this information, the other states in Arizona, in Iowa, in Arkansas next door to you guys, once the results from those programs start to trickle in, it's going to be more and more and more difficult to ram these things through legislatures, whether Republican or Democrat at all. And so that's the other rush, is to get this thing through, and then it's on the next governor or the next legislature to pay the bills and to answer for the program's results.
Josh, thanks for talking to us. Thanks for the op-ed that you wrote again.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
So that is Josh Cowan, a Michigan State education policy professor who wrote an op-ed in the Tennessean today using actual data to show that vouchers harm Tennessee students, take the warnings from broken budgets in other states, academic failures, that the damage is being done. As Senator Heidi Campbell wrote today, it's really tragic. Tennessee has elected people willing to sell our kids' futures for their own personal gain. Talk to your reps, talk to your senators, talk to Governor Lee, tell them not to sell our kids out to the special interests that filled the room at Governor Lee's announcement not long ago. I was there. It was very clear that there were a lot of people in that room looking to fill their pockets, push this ideological program. And then I just want to end by showing families in Arizona, as their schools are on the verge of closing, they think because of this school choice slash privatization agenda.
As a parent, it's devastating. It's heartbreaking.
Sarah Huddleston says that's how she felt reading an email from her two kids' principal at Desert Springs Prep, saying the school was one of four the Paradise Valley Unified School District is considering closing.
There was tears. My seven-year-old was simply said, you know, why would they close our school? We have the best school.
And the news was very devastating to our community.
The district says this is due to declining enrollment. Staff and parents from those four schools showing up to the district's meeting Thursday. Teachers emotional, some even bringing letters from their students.
You can blame the vouchers and the charter schools along with the slash to education funding.
You can blame vouchers and charter schools along with the cuts to education funding. Does that sound familiar, Tennessee? These vouchers are an attack on public schools from Governor Lee and his privatization friends. That is not hyperbole. It's what's happening. And so the time to protect public schools is right now. This will be the fight this session. It is not a foregone conclusion. I don't say that lightly. Rumors that Republicans are not necessarily sure that they want to get on board for this. So the time to reach out to your legislators and let them know that you see through Governor Lee's private school voucher scam is right now. Tennessee. Yeah. Tennessee. To Tennessee.